Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New threats to the Gaza ceasefire. Three empty buses blew up near Tel Aviv hours after the release of what were believed to be the bodies of four Israeli hostages. Israeli officials say five buses were rigged with bombs. Two didn't go off after news one of those bodies was not Shiri Bibas, the mother of two young boys whose remains were positively identified. Prime Minister Netanyahu through an interpreter.
We will work with determination to bring Shiri home together with all our hostages, both living and dead, and ensure that Hamas pays the full price for this cruel and malicious violation of the agreement.
President Trump and Elon Musk are celebrating after yesterday's court victory on shrinking the government. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Elon Musk whipped out a chainsaw at a conservative conference Thursday.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
As a federal judge said, his and President Donald Trump's efforts to hack through the federal workforce can proceed. Earlier, the president praised DOJ's efforts at a Black History Month event.
Elon Musk has done an amazing job. I have to tell you, him and his super geniuses.
CBS News has found more than 12,000 federal jobs have been cut. Some are expected to be eliminated soon. Most, like Kate Sandlin at the NIH, have been recent hires with probationary status.
Now I'm unemployed. I have a ton of debt, and I'm also losing my health insurance.
She moved from Alabama to Washington after she got the job. New York Governor Kathy Hochul's decided not to use her power to remove New York City Mayor Eric Adams from office after the Trump administration ordered federal corruption charges be dropped.
It is my sincere hope that these dark days will pass, elections will occur, and the people of New York will decide who they trust to govern this extraordinary city.
For now, Hochul says she'll move to impose strict new oversight. New action in the case of Luigi Mangione, the 26-year-old accused of gunning down United Healthcare CEO. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Mangione will be appearing today in a New York courtroom and not in Pennsylvania, where he also faces charges. It is in New York where he faces the most severe charges, murder in the first degree and domestic terrorism, which makes it a federal crime.
Lyrics to Canada's national anthem sounded a little different ahead of the country's win over the U.S. at the Four Nations hockey face-off in Boston. The singer switching the words from "in all of us command" to
"that only us command."
Shot at President Trump's threats to make Canada the U.S. 51st state. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the idea that women should just make sandwiches for their men and maybe shouldn't even have the right to vote, because that's what's coming from the MAGAs. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Happy Friday to you. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice wrap-up to the work week. Sunny skies today with a high near 23. Tonight, no problems. Partly cloudy with a low near 7 above. A little warmer on Saturday. Partly sunny and a high of 27. All the way up to 37 on Sunday. Right now, 2 below.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us. Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will be here to talk about the major plot flaw in the movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It's a Friday, and our Wisconsin winter weather is improving. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report, and I've got all the details for you. Plus, Stumacher Ag Meteorologist along with us. Yeah, sunshine on the way today. Our wind chills will still be available and noticeable, but we'll see highs today around 23. Tomorrow's when we really start turning the corner. Sunny and 26. Sunday, partly sunny, 37. We're into the 40s by the time we get to Monday. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that we need that insulating snow out there on alfalfa fields, winter wheat fields, etc. But boy, to be able to breathe outside without hurting your lungs won't exactly be a bad piece of news. Like I said, we'll see what Stumuck's got on the weather horizon for us in about 15 minutes. It has got to be the number one question I am hit with repeatedly, both when I'm just walking around in the grocery store or here in the office. What is happening with egg prices? Well, guess what? The short answer is nothing. They're going to continue to be very, very robust and expensive until the poultry industry can rebuild those flocks. How is that impacting the restaurant industry? We're talking about it with Susan Quam from the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Ben Jarboe's got that story on the way. And Wisconsin soybean growers pretty excited about some research that they're focused on in 2025. All that and more in store for you on a Friday here on the Midwest Farm Report.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Finally, Wisconsin snowmobile owners, trail operators, and those restaurants, resorts, whatever, that rely on the traffic are smiling a little bit in Wisconsin. We've got a decent base of snow and hopefully more on the way. Welcome in. I've got a great guest in studio with us today, Sam Landis. He is a gentleman that is one of the directors of the group that helps to make a lot of these snowmobile paths possible. It's the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs, and it's something that's been around for a long time, hasn't it, Sam? I mean, I was mentioning to Sam off air, I love to snowmobile when I get a chance. It's been a long time since I've been on a rig. But the bottom line is, that's an incredibly complex system that's been around for a long time. Tell me about the history.
So the AWSC is now reaching its 60th year. We currently have 600 and right around 600 clubs, and we have approximately 25,000 miles of snowmobile trails. So to give you an idea, Pam, there's 11,738 miles of state-numbered highways. Three-quarters of those trails go across private properties on seasonal easements with permission from our landowners. And, of course, especially in this area all over the state, that is, we have a real close relationship, especially with the ag community, because, as you know, Wisconsin's the dairy state.
Tell me a little bit about the strength of the association as far as membership, Sam.
Yeah, we are the provider club. So we have approximately 600 clubs. We have just about 40,000 family members. So it was 72 counties all organized by the AWSC. So it's a huge, huge outfit. To my knowledge, Pam, I don't think there's a larger volunteer group or even close to our numbers in the state.
I would have to agree. Tell them a little bit about what you guys do. And obviously, you're front and center right now because we're using those trails. We're happy as clams to be out enjoying Wisconsin's outdoors. It's a year-round commitment, though.
It is. So people don't realize it, but our organizations, to give you an example, so what we do is we go out in the fall make sure we have permission from the landowners, work with the public, work with the DNR and the local agencies and the county governments to get our interconnected trail system connected. So the neat thing is you can take off from my place out in Springfield Corners, and if you want to ride up to Superior, and we've done it, you can do so on groomed trails, marked trails. So it's to give you an idea, Pam, we've got 1,000 members in Dane County. We have 500 miles of trail just in Dane County alone. 406 are marked. 406 miles are funded, I should say. And we have approximately, I figured it out, we have approximately 200 thereabouts folks in Dane County that are pounding stakes and putting up signs and going to landowners. So it's really it's a big deal.
Now, you say funded. Explain for me what that means, Sam, when you say that 400 and some are funded.
Okay, so what happens, Pam, is our snowmobile registrations, our trail pass fees, and then we receive 50 gallons worth of state fuel tax revenue per sled with a 55% multiplier for the out-of-state sleds. That goes into a segregated trail aids fund. So there are no tax dollars that we use in our system at all.
That's incredible. Again, it just reinforces how important it is for volunteers, community members, families to stay engaged in the process year-round. Now, Sam, you and I were also talking about the value of being a member of the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. There's benefits far beyond just the trails.
Well, number one, we need the help, of course, all the help we can get marking the trails. But what people don't understand is it's like everything else today. I mean, There's laws involved. There's updates involved. It's a huge sport. If a law changes, maybe a trail area gets closed, all that information runs through the clubs. So if you're a club member, which is approximately $30 a year across the state to join a club, and then that automatically gets you into the AWSC, you get that information, whether it be basically in the Wisconsin Snowmobile News or through Facebook or through our communications, which is kept up with the times. So it's always a know before you go situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Landis in studio, if you're just joining us. He is one of the legislative committee chairs for Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. Before I go too far, you mentioned Facebook. Well, how can people touch base with the association, Sam? Give them your outreach. Is it a website? Is it Facebook?
Well, the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs has a website with all the clubs and contacts listed. The bulk of the counties, as a matter of fact, most of the clubs have their own website and, of course, Facebook page. So, I mean, it's now just a click of a button. And now we're even going to electronic. A lot of the clubs have electronic join through PayPal, through Cheddar Up or whatever, so you can just go online and join.
Now, let's talk a little bit. You're also the Law Enforcement Committee Chair for the Wisconsin Snowmobile Rec Council. That's something that snowmobiles, unfortunately, are catching more attention based on accidents versus the pleasure that it is to enjoy the trails. Tell me what we don't know about snowmobiling today, Sam. I'm going to guess since the last time I got on a rig, they're faster. But tell us a little bit about the other messages that people who want to start snowmobiling should be aware of.
Well, first off, you'd be surprised, Pam, because, you know, today compared to 1991, I think I went to a meeting where we had 149,000 registered snowmobiles, okay? Today, there's roughly between 220 and 240,000 registered sleds. Now, if you take a look at the data from 2002 up, our fatalities have been cut in half because the machines are nicer, they're more comfortable. Yes, they're faster, but the thing is, people have more of an investment in them. Number one and number two is we talk about marketing, belonging to a club and communication. The AWSC has done some law work back in the early 2000s, and now we're seeing the trend of more sleds, more miles, less fatalities, and less citations.
Gotta love that story. Gotta love that story. Now, let me ask you, Sam, you mentioned about the volume of trails that we've got. I can drive from Dane County all the way up to Superior if I want, just on my snowmobile. Are there growth areas? Are there areas of Wisconsin that are eagerly looking to add more snowmobile trails? And tell me about the revenue driver that this is, not just for northern Wisconsin, but I'm thinking statewide.
Well, so, I mean, you want to talk about the economic driver. I already have local businesses here in Dane County, especially after last year. We were the ones that were open. I have those businesses calling me, already asking me what the conditions will be and if and when we're going to open up the trails, and more than one.
Is there an area that's trying to build new trails? Are your local clubs saying, hey, I think we can stretch from here to there and sweeten up the ride a little more? Or are we pretty mature as far as the trails that we've got?
So back in 2016, we, with funding, because that's the driver, you got to have funds to fund the trail, because once those trails are approved with the self-funding program, they're annual now. They're on the payroll. But back in between 2016 and 2017, we added nearly 1,500 miles of new trail. So when you ask who's looking to develop trails, I would tell you everybody.
What else haven't we talked about, Sam, that people need to know not only about your association, about those local clubs, about the cohesiveness of working with farmers and landowners statewide?
Well, I mean, we have, it's a really neat program because, you know, it basically started, in my opinion, in this area anyway, with that relationship between the farmers and our local business people. And it's just developed. I mean, we had our 50th anniversary not too long ago, and I had to do more than one discussion on it from the start to the finish. And what was interesting was, within 5 years of the start of the AWSC, they were already at some 20,000 members, you know, so the sport just exploded. And of course, it's Wisconsin, you know, I mean, we're in a snow belt. So we, you know, the development of it was almost natural. And I mean, today, so back then when we first started, Pam, it was getting the trail system together. Right. Now we've really become a provider group for a huge economy in Wisconsin. I mean, we want to do an economic impact study, but I mean, Governor Thompson, when he was in office, said it was $1 billion-plus industry to the state.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so, I mean, and there's areas in this state and not far from here where snowmobiling in the winter and UTV ATV in the summertime is a lifeline for a lot of these local businesses.
Keep that in mind, folks. Absolutely. Sam Landis in studio with us. If you like to snowmobile, support your local club. Get involved with the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. If it's new to you, maybe this is the winter you invest a little time and maybe some energy to get out there and enjoy. Finally, we've got some snow that we can run. Sam Landis in studio with us talking about our Wisconsin snowmobile industry. Get involved. You can find their website, Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. Just Google it, and also find them on Facebook and support your local clubs. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and founder of Warrior Songs and veterans advocate Jason Moon. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The dynamics of our weather changing really fast.
Oh, yeah, we made a big swing. I mean, cold and snowy last weekend to what's going to be warmer. And maybe to wrap up this weekend, there could be a little rain or a rain-snow mix. Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. That's a possibility, though. Let's look at it today. High pressures drop right on into the Midwest, and that system will again today leave us with sunshine. And with that high dropping further off to our south throughout the day, winds are going to become more southwest across the state. That brings more mild air north, helping those temperatures to rise a little more than yesterday, making another very nice day. Not a strong wind, not adding a great deal of wind chill, but just helping to warm things up. We'll continue to do that into Saturday and Sunday as well. But a cool front and low pressure system is going to try to form off just to our north. And that's a reason I'd say, especially into the northeastern half of Wisconsin, we may be talking about some precipitation by late Sunday or into Sunday night. Maybe a little snow, maybe some raindrops, a little freezing rain further north. Some of that activity may linger further south in the state, even on toward Monday night. No, I don't expect a major rainstorm or major sheets of ice, but a little mix of precipitation that will essentially help to work on our snow cover. I'll have forecast details after this.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations: Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
All right, buddy, let's have the details on this forecast. Today looks like we're going to just begin to turn the corner, and then by tomorrow it's full on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we start feeling a whole lot more mild. Look for sunshine today. Low and mid-20s across the state. Southwest winds developing at 5 to 10. Wind chills only back to zero or so. Overnight, we stay clear. Single digits. Most of us stay above zero. That's great news. Southwest winds about 5 to 10. A little better tomorrow. Mostly sunny. Some mid and upper 20s expected across the state. Maybe a 30 in the west. Southwest winds 5 to 10. Sunday, partly sunny, Pam. Mid and upper 30s, and the southwest winds 5 to 10. That little precipitation chance, especially north, showing up by Sunday night.
How much precipitation do you think?
I don't think it's too heavy, and it's the mix that bothers me the most.
Okay, so we're going to have to watch temperatures too.
Yeah, there'll be a little freezing here and there, but that rain will do a number on our snow, so that's no good.
All right. I'll catch up with you Monday and find out where we stand. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good. See ya.
Stumach, ag meteorologist, along with us for Compure Financial. They are your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Find out more about upcoming webinars at compure.com. It is the most talked about story we deal with in the farm department these days. What's going on with egg prices? Ben Jarboe's got a guest on it.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The Mideast ceasefire on shaky ground after three empty buses exploded in Tel Aviv, and DNA testing showed one of four caskets handed over by Hamas did not contain the remains of a mother of two young boys who died in captivity. Prime Minister Netanyahu through an interpreter.
The sacred memory of Oded Lifshitz and Ariel and Kafir Bibas will forever be in the heart of the nation. May God avenge their blood, and so we will avenge.
A federal judge rules the Trump White House can go ahead with government job cuts. Elon Musk.
The actions that we're taking with the support of the president and the support of the agencies is what will save Medicare, what will save Social Security.
Governor Kathy Hochul's decided not to remove New York City Mayor Eric Adams, but instead impose state oversight after the Trump administration ordered federal corruption charges dropped.
I cannot deny the people of this great city this decision for themselves.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks for the entire family. Check out the film Flo, an animated movie about a cat trying to survive a flood. Our lead feline needs to get over a solitary existence and work with other animals in similar predicaments as they all take shelter on a boat. There are no words or dialogue, but the action is continuous and the animation is almost hypnotic. Flo is a sweet, engaging film with a very nice ending, showing animals coming together to help each other. The legendary Paul Simon is capitalizing on his SNL 50th anniversary show opening number Tour with Sabrina Carpenter. Simon has announced a new tour. It's been 7 years since the 83-year-old has packed up his guitar and hit the road. Simon will start in New Orleans in early April, and at this point has two dates scheduled for Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. 83-year-old touring Paul Simon might not go late into the evening, but it's still better than non-touring Paul Simon. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks beating the Clippers at Fiserv Forum, 116-110. Giannis Antetokounmpo back after missing six games, leading the team with 23 points in just 24 minutes of playing time. Head coach Doc Rivers, though, pleased with the team's defensive performance in the fourth quarter.
I thought we guarded the ball. I thought our length was a major factor out there. I thought Brooke, Jericho, Giannis, Kuz, all just their length. That was big for us.
College basketball, Marquette on the road against Villanova. Shaka Smart says whenever the Golden Eagles play at home, he's inspired by the banner that honors two former coaches.
I look up in the rafters and I just think about those guys, and I think about Al McGuire and Hank Raymond's. Just what they put into this program, how they created success, the fact that they went through adversity just like we do. Their road wasn't always a smooth one.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue our live coverage of the American Birkebeiner from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. Brady Ewing, Peter Rapine, and you. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy Friday to you. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice wrap-up to the work week. Sunny skies today with a high near 23. Tonight, no problems. Partly cloudy with a low near 7 above. A little warmer on Saturday. Partly sunny and a high of 27. All the way up to 37 on Sunday. Right now, 2 below.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Number one question with an exclamation point that I've been getting for the past couple of weeks now. What's going on with egg prices? Well, guess what? It's not just you and I, consumers, that are feeling the pinch of very expensive eggs. And by the way, this trend is going to continue. Our Wisconsin restaurant owners are likewise trying to figure out strategies to deal with these exceptional pieces of protein. We're going to find out about it. Ben Jarboe's in the wings right now, ready to talk with Susan Quam with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association on how they're dealing with these expensive egg prices. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report on the 21st day of February. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day in 1878, something that some people won't even know what it is, the world's first telephone book came out in New Haven, Connecticut. It was a single piece of cardboard, had 50 numbers on it back on this day, 1878. Now, I wonder how many young people even know what a telephone book is. On this day, 1958, the peace symbol is designed. You know that? Kind of a little Y in the middle of a circle. Supposedly, the symbol came up because of the campaign for nuclear disarmament. Gerald Holtom, who designed the peace symbol, said that he used the letters N and D for nuclear disarmament as part of the peace symbol, which came to be on this day in 1958. On this day in 1972, then President Richard Nixon started his very first historic visit to China. It was all about trying to build relations between the two countries. Started back on this day in 1972. Happy birthday to Kelsey Grammer, 69 years young today. And actress Jennifer Love Hewitt, she is 45. And now you know. I bet many of you want to know what's going on with egg prices. Well, the long and the short of it is, as expensive as they are today, that price is going to be around for a while until the poultry industry can repopulate those laying hens. Ben Jarboe caught up with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association to find out how their members are dealing with these expensive eggs.
With low supply and high prices, all because of the bird flu, eggs are a hot topic in the food industry. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. And you might think how it affects you when you go to the grocery store, but how about when you go to a restaurant? Susan Quam, the Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, is giving us an update on how the egg shortages are affecting the restaurant industry, as well as what restaurants are doing to combat the issue.
Well, of course, you know, we're just as consumers are seeing prices skyrocket in the grocery store and maybe even some lack of availability. Obviously, our operators are running into the same thing. The supply chain for eggs for the restaurant industry is a little different than that for the grocery stores, just because they're packaged different. So not every egg facility packages for restaurants. So it's a limited number of facilities that can do that. If they're experiencing a specific shortage, or depending on where, you know, some of the bird flu flock situations have occurred, that is definitely making this a regional issue for a lot of operators. Now, obviously, across the supply chain, we've seen a minimum of a 45% to 50% increase in prices just in the last 12 months. Now, we know this bird flu issue was percolating much before that. So overall, in the last couple of years, egg prices on the restaurant side have gone up almost 200%. So, you know, we're seeing some pretty severe price hikes from, you know, people paying like $50 a case and now having to pay $175 to $200 a case for eggs. So if you're in the bakery or you're in the breakfast business, that's a struggle.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the bakery and breakfast industry there. Are they being forced to maybe try to find substitutions for eggs in their products, or how are they dealing with it? Are they raising prices? How are they trying to combat the supply and price issue?
Well, I think you're seeing a combination of different factors. Obviously, if you're a breakfast location, and eggs is a big part of that, and your profit margins are slim as it is, you have to kind of make some adjustments. You're going to have to pass some of that cost on to the customer. They're just the models that restaurants operate under in that situation just can't absorb that huge of an increase, even for something that was considered, you know, traditionally to be a low cost protein source. So we're seeing definitely price increases. I think the most famous one you hear about is the Waffle House increase, where they're charging a surcharge of 50 cents per egg onto a bill, rather than overall trying to raise prices on everything. They're going that route. Others have just had to suck it up and change their menu prices and increase their prices. On the bakery side, they might be trying to use something that's might be an egg substitute, but depending on the type of products, that just doesn't work, because, you know, the liquefied eggs or the other type of products that aren't, you know, if you're a from scratch bakery, that just doesn't necessarily work for the product quality that you're looking for.
Quam says that even though restaurants are going to have to expand where they get their eggs from, Wisconsin restaurants are still going to be keeping their egg selection from the Midwest. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
The dairy industry is filled with exciting career opportunities, cutting-edge technology, and hands-on learning experiences. And to inspire the next generation, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is bringing interactive educational programs into classrooms, helping students discover the many roles that keep dairy farms thriving. Virgil Haig, member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, shares how they're helping students explore these careers through interactive programs that bring the world of dairy into the classroom.
We just came out with this. It's a new game that we just came out with. It's called Discover Dairy Careers, and it covers the veterinarians, the herd nutrition, human nutrition, farmers, farm managers, and equipment technology. We provide the teachers with a 45-minute lesson to able to teach the kids what dairy careers is all about in their classroom.
To put your skills to the test and discover more fun and educational opportunities, go to wisconsindairy.org.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on a Friday. Well, all the entries are in place for the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th at the Resch Expo Center up in Green Bay. Kirsten Strominger is kind of the coordinator of logistics for the big event, and she says they selected the Resch Expo Center for some very specific reasons.
So some unique things that you may not think of that we need is we need a facility that has one really good lighting. The judges need great lighting to be able to see the cheese well and give proper evaluations. And not only that, but we need a facility that has at least three loading docks that we can use, because we store all of these cheese entries on refrigerated trailers that we have that are on the docks all week. So different aspects of an event that you just might not think of, that we need good access to loading docks because of the semis that we have there.
Kirsten Strominger, the coordinator of logistics for the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event. Right now, they've got 117 pallets full of dairy products for the contest. Barrel cheese yesterday was down 2.25 at 178.5. 40-pound block cheese up a quarter of a cent on Thursday to $1.90. But AA butter dropped 1¾ cents to 242.25. Wisconsin soybean growers looking forward to 2025, not just for the crop they'll grow, but the research that it will bring. Jonathan Gibbs joining me next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, our regular Week in Review panels, including Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, and Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
And Soybean Marketing Board. You can see all their pictures and find out more about what we're discussing at wisoybean.org. So just give me your gut reaction, Jonathan. I thought that everybody, despite commodity prices, I thought the energy level was still pretty high at Corn Soy Expo this year.
We had a very good Corn Soy Expo, and yeah, I totally agree with you, Pam. I think that, morale's still pretty good considering coming off of, a rougher year in the last couple of years where we had, quite a bit of rain up front followed by quite a bit of dry weather late in the season, which that rain up front, at least for us locally, created a lot of water holes and, a lot of acres that just weren't harvestable at the end of the day. And then that dry weather, while it made for a nice dry harvest, we didn't have to dry a lot of corn. Right. Some of our soybeans got a little too dry. I mean, once you kind of put that together, I was very happy with, the reaction of all the folks at Corn Soy, and farmers are really an optimistic bunch, and kind of we do realize that things cycle and we're going to have our ups and downs, and just make sure that we plan to fight another day. Hopefully the downturn doesn't last too long.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk with Jonathan today. The Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board made some decisions financially for soybean growers in the state as far as research projects are concerned. And to your point, Jonathan, weather is one of those things we just cannot control. But boy, we want to do everything we can to have knowledge and projects going on to help offset the risk of weather. Tell me a little bit about what the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board did as far as research investment going into 2025.
So in the checkoff, the soybean checkoff, we're charged with, research, education, new uses. And one of the things we do the day before Corn Soy starts, we meet as a board. That's our winter board meeting. And our researchers, most of them being at the UW, submit project proposals to us at the end of December, early January. As a board, we each read through those research proposals. Some of them are continuing. We have a lot of multi-year projects, whether they could be 2, 3, 4 years, maybe up to 5 or 6, depending on the need of the project. Even if it's a multi-year project, we do analyze that on a year-to-year basis to see if, the work they're doing, if are they finding out meaningful discoveries pertaining to soybeans. We are very, happy and very fortunate to have great researchers in the state. I mean, but obviously we know that our purpose isn't just to employ people at the UW. Our purpose is to bring value back to the soybean farmers of Wisconsin. So we met there the day before corn soy and looked at six continuing projects and a couple new projects and went through and approved most of those. There's a couple that we didn't feel held the value, or we were at the state of time where we really needed to head down that road and take a look at that. Not that we might not entertain that in the future, but just with keeping a budget in mind and so on and so forth, that's what we ended up with, six continuing projects and one new project for about a total of $765,000.
So let's talk specifically then about the six that got the board's confidence on the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Let's hit the highlights there, Jonathan, and why farmers should be paying attention.
I mean, a lot of our continued ones. I mean, we're always in this northern soybean climate. You get north of I-80 in Illinois and Iowa, so the Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, northern Illinois area. I mean, we're prime white mold area. You get south of there, and it's not as much of an issue. So that's, continuing. That's where a lot of our, some of our state funding always seems to go. We've got white mold projects. We're looking at, also dealing with insects and any tools that we can, recognize. I mean, as far-fetched as it kind of sounds, we're looking at a project that's using, maybe microphones to listen for insects, and is that something we could deploy out in the field and use in our crop management to predict when we're going to have insect issues or when we need to treat or something like that? So we're always looking at our try and true stuff, but we're trying to stay on the cutting edge of research too. And other ones, Rodrigo Worley. One of the longer continuing ones we have is just looking at these resistant weeds, whether it's, if you have palmer, if you have water hemp or ragweeds, so on and so forth, and how to control those, whether it's, our classic herbicides or we want to integrate cover crops. How do we manage the cover crops? What do we need to have for growth to really suppress weeds, so on and so forth? And then we get, down to our soybean cyst nematode testing program that we fund for our growers in the state that, can submit it up to, a few tests free of charge to them, that the checkoff picks up the cost of that. And we find that to be a very valuable program for our growers, but also our researchers in the state, whether it's Sean Connolly or Damon Smith, actually leverage that program to conduct other research with that soil that comes in. So we're not just testing for the cyst nematodes and siloing that research, but they're also using that to, leverage in their phytophthora research or so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, and that's a very important point to make, Jonathan, is how you folks as Soybean Marketing Board members really look for that return on investment, how far those checkoff dollars can go.
Yeah, we're a bunch of farmers, and that's the ones making the decision. So just like we all do on our farm, we're looking for the efficiencies. We're looking where we can add value in this program and how we can bring it back to, the soybean farmers, and they're the ones footing the bill here. They're the ones paying the way. So that's pretty much where our goal starts and finishes at the end of the day.
Anything else on the lineup for research projects, either existing or new ones starting, Jonathan, that caught your attention specifically?
Sean Connolly, he works really well with Damon and Rodrigo and everybody else there. And he's kind of putting, a lot of his research together into some larger projects. And he's also taking, I find it interesting, he's taking a lot of the different projects. And, we think of AI and, initially it's kind of scary. But when you talk to him and he's telling how, they can take, hundreds of past research projects and take that data And when they've trained AI to do what they want it to do, AI can dissect that data and read those research projects and so on and so forth to create an even bigger pool of data. And then we can use that to help, you know, direct manage on our farm, whether you're taking a look at soil type interactions with soybeans or if you're taking a look at different relative maturities, interacting with our cover crops. You know, it's really interesting when you sit down and actually talk to him about, you know, some of his projects, and it gives me a lot of, you know, excitement on and where this is heading to and you know, how I can use it on my farm.
Jonathan Gibb, yeah, along with us from Fox Lake. He is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, explaining a little bit about the primary research projects that they came together as a board and decided to fund for field year 2025, some beyond. If you want to find out more about where your soybean checkoff dollars are being invested here in the state, I strongly suggest that you pop on over to WISoybean.org. Soybean checkoff dollars brought you and me, as well as Jonathan Gibbs, this update.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sustainability comes naturally in dairy farming. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Before you take on some risky task or project on the farm, ask yourself, what would happen if this goes south? If I get hurt or even die in the process, what would happen to my family and the farm? Use your best judgment to decide what's acceptable or unacceptable risk. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Dairy farmers don't need lessons in how to be sustainable. Tim Trotter is the CEO of the Dairy Business Association and the Edge Dairy Cooperative in Wisconsin.
It's basically just capturing all the good work you're doing on your farm. You don't go out every day and say, oh, I'm going to be sustainable today. No, I'm going to run my business the way I need to be financially stable. And of course, we want to be good with the environment. Yes, we want to treat the soil right. We do want clean drinking water. It's just the way we farm and it's the way we think. And it's most important that they just say, yes, I want to bring my information to the table and get credit for it. And that really comes back to giving that farmer the permission to innovate. And I think we've got to be able to have mechanisms for funding and for sharing of ideas so that could begin.
Trotter says dairy supply chains encourage sustainable farming practices. The federal government does as well, though some funding channels are in flux at the moment. Trotter says the dairy industry needs to keep up the dialogue.
And also creating that competitive nature of, oh, I could do better than that, because that really gets farmers going. I mean, they like the challenge, but again, it's got to fit into their business practice.
Trotter was a guest on a recent episode of the Farm Food Facts podcast from U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Threats to the Gaza ceasefire as Israeli police investigate explosions on three empty buses near Tel Aviv. No claim of responsibility, but it came hours after Hamas returned what it said were the remains of four Israeli hostages. DNA testing showed Shiri Bibas, mother of two young boys who died, was not among them. Professor of Middle Eastern Studies Stephen Zunis.
The bottom line is that it's wrong to kill children. It's wrong to kidnap people. It's wrong to manipulate the emotions of those and returning the remains of loved ones. And it's an ongoing tragedy all around.
President Trump has scored again in federal court in his bid to slash the number of government employees. CBS's Erica Brown.
President Trump addressed Republican governors in Washington on the heels of a legal victory that could clear the way for mass firings of federal employees.
By the way, where do we go into the Education Department? We haven't even done that.
On Thursday, U.S. District